Hey everyone, welcome to Trashy Divorces, midweek edition, Trashy Breakups. My name is Stacy.
Hey friends, I'm Alicia. Can you believe it? This is our last of our Wednesday episodes for season 13, Stacy.
Woo!
Only 1 week between seasons though, right. So don't worry. We'll be back with a whole new season 14 beginning Wednesday, April 6th.
Perfect. Thanks for reminding. You're taking us way back in time, huh?
Way back in time. It has been a season since our last mythology episode where we covered Persephone and Hades.
Sure.
So how could I pass up the opportunity in season 13 to not talk about the trashiest god on Mount Olympus?
It's quite a competition, though.
You know him. Everyone's related to him, mostly through his paternity. In godlike or animal transformation.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Zeus. Mm-hmm. Zeus.
Yup.
Zeus is the big guy of Greco-Roman mythology. And you might know him by his alternative name, Jupiter.
Okay.
But we're going to go with Zeus for this one. Most all of the Greek gods do have an equivalent Roman name.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing translates to all cultures. There's really nothing new under the sun or the moon and all that jazz. So with our song choice for this particular episode, I had to go with Barefoot Children by Jimmy Buffett. This is from his Barometer Soup album. I cannot recommend Barometer Soup as an album enough. It is a really nice 55 minutes of tunes while you get your work done, island style.
Okay.
But Barefoot Children, it's a terrific song. And when I listen, I cannot help but think of Zeus. So let me tell you why we picked this one.
Okay.
Scratch my back with a lightning bolt. Thunder rolls like a bass drum note. The sound of the weather is heaven's ragtime band. We all fell down from the Milky Way, hanging around here till the judgment day. Heaven only knows who's in command. Who the hell knows? But for the Greeks and Romans, they pretty much thought it was Zeus. So let's go ahead and set a baseline for where Zeus starts.
Okay.
We covered this a little bit back in the episode with Poseidon, but I'd be remiss if we did not begin with the two generations of divine beings before Zeus and his crew, the Olympian gods, that rise to power in the third gen.
Right. Are these Titans and such?
Titans are the second.
Okay.
But we can't talk about the Titans without talking about the first generation.
Okay.
Feature not a bug. The primordial beings.
Oh.
The primordial beings, there are five of them.
Hmm.
Primordial deities. These are the ancient gods and goddesses that are already there at the origin of all things in some cases.
Yeah, it's tricky, right?
They exist somewhere between time and space. Mm-hmm. They're the firstborn immortals. They are the very essence of existence.
It's a vibe.
Now, from this, though, the primordial beings, that's one take. The primordial beings, for the other take, apparently come from chaos. Chaos is the big thing in the middle that starts it all, the undefined, the unknowable, the morass of human woes. Now, up on the same level as chaos is Kronos. Not the same Kronos that we're going to be talking about in a minute, who's a Titan, but Kronos, who is old father time.
Mm-hmm.
Kronos has a buddy too who controls destiny. So even before the primordial beings, we have Kronos, chaos, time, destiny, nothing matters. Okay, to get to the primordial beings, we got five of those. We got Eros Elder. Eros Elder is in charge of love and protection. We have Tartarus. He's in charge of the pit, meaning the underworld.
Okay.
We have Gaia. Mm-hmm. Gaia is Mother Earth. Gaia is the most important of all the primordial beings. We have Erebus. He's in charge of darkness. And we have Nyx, who is in charge of night. But come on. Primordial beings, again, have to come from somewhere. They're coming from chaos, the void, the utter nothingness before the gods existed. They're coming from Kronos, the father of time. And, oh, here's this guy's name, Ananke. He's the ruler of destiny. So again, all of these exist beyond time and space, and Gaia, the most important primordial being, she makes things. Mountains, gods, and the sea.
Okay.
Gaia is going to mate with Uranus, your favorite god. And they have some kids. They not only have the 12 Titans as children, they also have the Cyclops, big one-headed monster. And they also have these children that have 50 heads and hundreds of hands.
Okay, because a one-headed monster is the correct number of heads.
No, a one-eyed headed monster.
Cyclops, okay.
But then they have the other child. Then they have the other being, which has 50 heads and a bunch of hands. That's going to come to be important later.
Okay.
Okay. And then the 12 Titans.
That just seems like a difficult delivery.
Okay, so here comes Gaia and Uranus with their 12 Titan children.
Okay.
Now we're getting into second generation, V.2.
Sure.
The Titans will lead to the Olympian gods, but for right now, the Titans, there are 12 of them. Not Father Time Kronos with a C, but Kronos with a K is one of the most important of the Titans.
Okay.
He is the god of the harvest. Okay. His wife is Rhea. She is the goddess of fertility. So what do you think is going to happen? Kronos and Rhea do become the king and queen of the universe.
Cool.
How do they make that happen? Kronos overthrows his father, Uranus.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
How does he do this?
Yeah.
He castrates Uranus and throws his balls in the ocean.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Kronos learns a little bit later after killing Uranus from his mother, Gaia, that, I don't know if you should have done that, honey, because you are going to suffer the very same fate of being overthrown.
Huh.
Just like you did to your father. It's all very Shakespearean.
Sure.
And Kronos is like, not a problem. I can fix this. I have a great plan.
Oh, no.
I will fix this. Here's my good idea. Wait on it. I'll just eat my children.
Okay. What does Rhea think about this plan?
Well, Kronos and Rhea have 5 kids at this point.
Okay.
Hera, Hades, Poseidon, Hestia, and Demeter.
Uh-huh.
And Kronos, tasty, tasty babies, gonna eat his first 5 kids.
Okay.
And Rhea's like, you have got to stop eating our children.
I had no idea that baby back ribs were a Greek dish. That's slap some tzatziki on that and...
The surprising origins of baby back ribs.
Woo!
Rhea's a little upset.
Unhappy, okay.
Rhea's more upset because she's pregnant with baby number 6.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. And Kronos is like, kids, tasty, tasty kids. I'll eat that one too. And Rhea's like, oh, hell no, you won't. Because she knows her husband's kind of dumb.
Sure.
So once she delivers the child, she is going to put a stone about baby sized, wrap it in a swaddling blanket, and present it to Kronos as tasty, tasty baby.
Here's your plate of ribs.
And Kronos, give me that tasty baby, eats the stone, thinks 6 child sure. is out of the way.
And then just doesn't notice the baby hanging out everywhere.
Well, the baby is sent, the baby, welcome Zeus into the world.
Oh.
Zeus is the baby, and Rhea will send the child in secret to Crete to be raised by all the nymphs. Kind of an idyllic life.
Mm-hmm.
Nectar, ambrosia, magical goat milk and shit. Like, it's good times. Very little adult supervision.
Sure.
Ambrosia all day. It's like 5 o'clock somewhere for Zeus. But one day, Zeus is going to learn of his true immortal identity.
Da-da.
And now he's mad. He's got one thing on his mind, and it's getting revenge his brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Oh, good Lord. He is going to give his daddy Kronos some vomit juice, like some Ikapak, like things that promote the vomiting process.
Okay. Because vomit juice in this context could be a lot of things. Okay, so like, yes, a thing.
Yeah, just come have this tasty, tasty juice. And sure enough, Kronos does begin to vomit. And sure enough, up come the 5 kids who he has eaten in reverse order. Zeus, reunited with his brothers and his sisters, now just isn't content just to have revenge on his father. He wants to defeat his uncles to all the Titans.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. What Zeus is going to do is free Cyclops, as well as that 50-headed, multi-hand being to help Zeus out. And sure enough, it takes, whatever, 10 years, but he will overthrow the Titans.
Okay.
Zeus gets some tools. He gets some magic powers, which are the lightning bolt. That's his tool. He's assigned the lightning bolt. There are two wars, but whatever. Eventually, the gods of Mount Olympus come out over the Titans, but the Titans don't go away, per se. But once the gods of Mount Olympus are victorious, now we got to divide up the loot, the booty. Sure. So Poseidon, going to get the sea. Mm-hmm. Hades gets the underworld. Zeus will get the earth and heavens and Mount Olympus. Every son has a job, so that's great. But we can't leave the girls out. Hestia is assigned to the home and the family life of mortal beings.
Okay.
Demeter is assigned agriculture and land. Also, just setting the stage here, Demeter will have a child with her brother Zeus, Persephone, who will go on to marry Hades,
mm-hmm, in the underworld.
Her
mm-hmm.
uncle. So, a mm-hmm. little bit of trash right there. Mm-hmm. We got one sister left over. Hera. What can Hera do? Think. Oh, I got it. We'll marry Hera to her brother Zeus. She can be the queen of it all. She can be the first lady of Mount Olympus.
Okay.
And if Zeus and Hera had a status on Facebook, it would be, it's complicated.
Right.
Because Hera, yeah, is Zeus's sister, and that's fine. The being brother and sister is not what Hera's problem is with Zeus. Hera's bigger problem with Zeus is that her brother is a downright cad. He's a womanizer.
Yep.
She doesn't want a thing to do with this, not because, you know, we're related, but because you are a trashy, trashy dog.
Right.
And I see how you treat women.
In many forms.
You're not kidding. So Zeus is not going to be deterred. So they're going to get together in kind of a trashy way. Fine, you're my brother. You're more trouble than it's worth. Hera wants nothing to do with Zeus. But Zeus, in one of his transformations, he's convinced that Hera is just playing hard to get. And Zeus, again, dude really loves to transform. So he will transform himself into a tiny, tiny bird named Cuckoo. I'm not kidding. K-O-O-K-O-O.
Okay.
Transforms himself into a tiny bird, and because he controls the heavens, begins a rainstorm. And here comes tiny, tiny little Cuckoo bird, and Hera sees tiny, tiny Cuckoo bird left in the rain and says, I will take this bird into my breast and take him home and care for the bird until this terrible storm passes.
Okay. Well, that's nice of Hera, I suppose.
Hera's nice. She takes the bird home, mm-hmm. snuggle up, cuddle up. Mm-hmm. Hera and the bird nestle down for a long winter's nap. And whoa, when Hera wakes up in the morning, there is Zeus in his form in the bed. And we have had a union. And now we're getting married and everyone's invited.
Sorry, Hera.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, I wouldn't feel too sorry for Hera. She exacts some revenge in the second half of our story.
Okay.
I do have kind of a few other fun things here to talk about, though.
I feel like there's a lesson there in bringing wild animals into your home. Just, you know, dry it off. Let it
when Zeus is in question, who knows what Zeus is turning into on any given day. But the wedding of Hera and Zeus is on. So they're going to get Hermes to deliver all the invitations because everyone's invited. Nobody's ever seen a wedding party like this on Mount Olympus. I bring this up because I learned something new about mythology, which I just found fascinating this week. So here goes Hermes. He's got all the invitations. He's delivering them everywhere. He's delivered every single one. Now he shows up for the big wedding and the big party. Huzzah! Having a great time. And he's looking around. And there's one person of all the invitations that Hermes has delivered who has not shown up yet. And that's Cleone. She is the laziest nymph ever. She just likes to sleep. And Hermes is like, oh man, I'm not going to get blamed by Zeus and Hera when the laziest nymph does not show up. Let me fly over to Crete really quick, wake her ass up, get her back here to the party.
Sure.
Wakes Cleanie up. Oh, I'll be there in 10 minutes. Let me just get up. I'll be on my way. Hermes, okay, don't mess with me now. You gotta get to the party. The laziest nymph does wake, and she'll head there just with every step taking longer than the next. And by the time she is on the journey, like halfway there, people are coming home from the great wedding feast. And she's like, well, party's over. Let me just go back to my house. Zeus and Hera do not get mad at the lazy nymph. They get mad at Hermes. Huh. And they bring Hermes like, dude, how dare you not deliver all of these invitations? And Hermes is like, oh man, I'm going to go get her. So he flies back over to Crete, finds the laziest nymph just taking a little nap in her wading pool outside of her home. And Hermes is pissed. Hell no. He is going to lift her house from the ground. If you hate being away from your home so much, lazy nymph, you can have your home with you wherever it goes. Throws her home into the wading pool where it meshes with the laziest nymph that turns her into some kind of reptilian snake water being.
Sure.
However, Cleanie is so slow with her house now on her because of the slowness. Becomes our first turtle. The origin of turtles.
Okay.
After Zeus and Hera yell at Hermes a little bit, they're going to take a 100-year honeymoon, which goes fine enough. Mm-hmm. It's after the 100-year honeymoon that things get a little dicey.
Okay.
Because Hera is the goddess of marriage. She wants fidelity, kind of a big deal to Hera. She's the goddess of marriage and seeking fidelity and not getting fidelity.
Sure.
Hera's going to really whip up some pretty good vengeance on her womanizer of a husband. And not just on him, but on his liaisons and his victims as well. Hera loves a good curse. But Zeus and Hera getting it on. They have 4 kids from their union. A few of which will compromise to make up the new 12. It turns out getting rid in mythology of those 12 titans. Oh God, we've only got 6 now. Now we need to fill in some other people. There's still somebody that needs to be in charge of everything.
So they needed more balance. Correct. Is what I'm hearing. Okay.
They have 4 kids. It's pretty good. Hephaestus, who is the god of fire and forges. Okay. Ares, god of war. Aletheia, who is in charge of birth and midwives. And then Hebe. Hebe is her youngest daughter. She's the protector of youth. Hmm. Hebe also has a really important job. She is the cup bearer of nectar and ambrosia to the gods on Mount Olympus.
Okay.
It's a big deal of a job.
She's the bartender.
She's the bartender. And these are the 4 legitimate kids Zeus has. But Zeus is mostly terrible to everyone, including his 4 children. Hmm. So let's start with sweet baby daughter Hebe. And this transgression will begin to rile Hera up because really Zeus and Hera, the most dysfunctional marriage ever. So one day, little Hebe is hanging out on Mount Olympus, doing her bartending thing. Crowd's getting a little rowdy. She trips. Mm-hmm. Daddy Zeus is mad about it. Hebe, goddess of youth, I'm stripping you from your duties as official bartender of nectar and ambrosia here in Mount Olympus. I mean, it's the thing that keeps the gods immortal. Cupbearer is an enormous job.
Okay.
Hera gets wind of all of this, and she's like, Zeus, how dare you? This is our daughter, and we'll accuse him, Zeus, of, oh, you're just getting rid of her so you can put up one of your mistresses in here. Hmm. I know your angle, buddy.
Sure.
I see what you're trying to do.
Yep.
Now, Zeus has nobody in mind, but he's like, gosh, sure as hell don't want to piss Hera off. I know what will not make her mad. I'm going to find a dude. Because it's not just honey Zeus hooks up with. He's going to find a dude to be the new cupbearer. That way my wife will not be upset with me.
Okay.
So, oh, Zeus, we'll find a young man. In some stories, he's the Prince of Troy. Okay. In other stories, he's just a young man who's a shepherd. Maybe he's both. I don't know. But he's mortal. And he's beautiful. Like, the best looking mortal that anyone has ever seen. And Zeus is so captivated with this young man, Ganymede, that Zeus will transform into an eagle.
Oh my God, Zeus.
As Ganymede is tending his flocks one day, the eagle flies, picks Ganymede up, and gently carries him off to Mount Olympus, where Ganymede is now the official cupbearer.
Bartender.
Of the gods.
Okay.
Now, all of the other gods are like, whoa, they're super impressed. Have you seen the new bartender? He is hot. Like, he is so, so handsome.
Go head over to the Mount Olympus Bar and Grilly.
That's it. Tiki party. So, Ganymede is offered immortality to keep his beauty forever. We don't want you to...
Right.
This is the best looking day of your life.
You're perfect.
Exactly. Now, Hera, because Zeus and Ganymede are doing it, a little bit jealous, but Ganymede has parents on Earth, remember?
Right.
The king of Troy.
Perhaps.
And the queen of Troy, perhaps. And they're kind of missing their child. And Zeus is like, don't worry. I have a great idea. I'm going to go ahead and create this constellation, Aquarius, the cup bearer, so that every time you miss your son Ganymede, you can look up into the sky and remember him that way. Mortal parents.
That doesn't actually seem awesome.
Yeah, mortal parents are like, maybe just send our son back from how you kidnapped him. Oh, gosh. All right. Four kids from the legitimate marriage with Hera, but we haven't even talked about the number of out of wedlock illegitimate children and rapes too. Legit, Zeus is related to everyone. I need you to know that Zeus is the actual family tree.
Okay.
Zeus, just all of it. Just wielding his mythological lightning bolt, so to speak. Now is a terrific time to take a break to hear from our sponsors this week. And when we come back, we're going to get into the rest of the illegitimate trashy.
Okay. See you on the flip. Hey, Trash Pandas. Stacy here to share my latest take a mental breather from your day find. Two Dots. Two Dots is a free-to-download puzzle-based mobile game where you connect dots in relaxing puzzles while unlocking levels and collecting treasure and prizes along the way. Connect at least two adjacent dots of the same color to make a move, and remember, dots can connect horizontally and vertically, but never, ever diagonally. And as engaging as the main puzzles are, there are also side quest game modes like the scavenger hunt, where you find hidden objects amidst riotously colorful art, and classic adventure game vibes in the arcade. Each fun and relaxing Two Dots puzzle offers a new gameplay experience, plus the chance to collect trophies, medals, and other souvenirs of your adventures. As you advance through the levels, you'll earn various power-ups and special dots with new effects, like erasing all dots of a certain color or clearing a row and column simultaneously, and the colorful visuals find the perfect balance between stimulating and soothing.
Two Dots is free to download, and you can play even when you're offline. Make it a party by challenging your friends on Facebook. If you're ready to kick back and unwind, download Two Dots for free on Android and iOS and start connecting.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
I'm making keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Lauren, we are sisters. That's true. And we host a celebrity-obsessed podcast called Pop Apologists. We also love Taylor Swift. Chandler, how are you managing to cope while we await Taylor's new album? Look, I want to be put into a medically induced coma and wake up on April 19th, but I'm not sure my insurance is going to cover it. Join us on our pop culture podcast, Pop Apologists, where we will be dishing on all things celebrity news and deep diving every word and note of Taylor's new album. Pop Apologists. Pop Apologists.
Okay, so Zeus is married, also has a boyfriend. It's complicated.
Let's do this.
What else did old Zeus get up to?
Oh my. All right, so we're back with all the rest of the trashy genealogy chart here. Oh, and transformations.
Yeah.
And trashy.
He loves a good costume. I don't know.
I mean, truly, Zeus is terrible in all of his antics, but honestly, Hera really likes revenge games. She is the maddest woman that Mount Olympus has ever seen, and she really does have a marvelous time ruining everything. But also, remember, there's still 12 Titans.
In the background somewhere.
Oh, God, it's all a mess. Let's just go ahead and start talking about the lovers one by one. We have Metis. Metis is a Titan. She's the daughter of Ocean and Thetis. She's one of the 3,000 daughters of Ocean and Thetis. So, there's a bunch of girls.
So, man, how do you even distinguish yourself in that household?
Metis is supposedly the first of Zeus's wives before Hera, this Titan. Metis, as a word, means craft, skill, wisdom. I love this. She is the goddess Metis is of prudence and treachery.
Hmm.
So quite a mixed bag there.
Yeah.
And Zeus kind of digs her, but Zeus is also kind of afraid of her too because she's a Titan.
Uh-huh.
Metis is the one who is a trusted counselor to Zeus. Metis is the one that suggests the vomit juice for Zeus to overthrow Cronos, sure, his father. Okay. Zeus, so appreciative of all of Metis's help, tries to make a move on her, and Metis really isn't into it. Metis, also in charge, she's just wise. She's one of the old kind. She's a super wise being, and she can shapeshift too.
Hmm.
So she's shapeshifting into forms to avoid Zeus shapeshifting, trying to get after her. Alas, shapeshifting works out the way it does, and soon enough, Metis is pregnant. But uh-oh, Zeus gets a prophecy. Never go to the oracle.
Hmm.
Like, it's bad. Zeus gets a prophecy that says if Metis has a child, that child will become too powerful. And Zeus, not willing or wanting to be defeated.
Right.
Some real imago here.
Little baby back rib action?
You got it. He's going to eat Metis, his lover.
Oh,
tasty lover.
Not even
with the child in her belly.
I learned it
by watching you, Dad.
Yeah, no kidding.
So Zeus eats his lover, wife.
Like you do.
And fetus. And fetus. And it turns out Zeus, like, gets this really, really terrible headache.
Weird.
Terrible affliction of the head. And Zeus, in no time at all, like another, you know, little few months for the baby to gestate, is going to give birth through his head to his daughter, Athena, who comes out fully adult, fully grown, with her weapons and full armor.
Did she have any questions for dear old dad?
Athena is, no. I can imagine Zeus had a pretty terrible labor. Probably talked about that one all the time. Athena is assigned the goddess of war, science, and civilization, as well as wisdom and justice. Think about head things. Okay. Next up, we have Themis. Some people say Themis. I think if you're a NASA scientist, you're going to say Themis. Greek scholars, Themis. Changes throughout on the pronunciation of this one.
Okay.
Themis is the daughter of Uranus and Gaia. Again, first generation of Titans here. And Themis is the goddess in charge of divine law and prophecy. She is the governing figure of the oracle at Delphi. She will side with the Mount Olympians, not the Titans, during the Great War. And once the war is won, Themis is responsible for maintaining order on Mount Olympus. She writes the rule book. She's like the Emily Post of Mount Olympus.
Okay.
She creates the rules for how do we assemble? How do we do offerings? How do we do council meetings? She's the Senate parliamentarian, so to speak.
What a terrible job to have with that particular group of...
Have you seen our new bartender?
I mean...
Themis is the voice of reason and justice. Oh, they call her...
Good luck with that.
Right. They call her the Lady of Good Counsel.
Okay.
Themis. Themis is a big deal. She's also a daughter of Uranus. She's also the aunt of Zeus.
Okay.
A little creepy.
Well, because I think I know what's going to happen.
Well, after counseling Zeus on the fates and the law, somehow they hook up. And they have two groups of children.
Oh.
The first are the three Horai. These are the cosmic goddesses of social order. They're also, the Horai are known as the Hours. They are in charge of the seasons in the world.
Okay.
The second group are the Morai. These are fate's masters. You can think of the Morai like the witches in the Scottish play by William Shakespeare. They have a cauldron. They hold all the threads of the universe. They do all the predictions. They are in charge of fate's destiny for you.
Okay.
The Morai collect the threads of each life to ensure it follows fate's plans. And they also are in charge of cutting those threads of life.
Sure.
So a few more illegitimate kids there.
Sure.
Oh, goodness. We can't not talk about Leto. Leto is the daughter of Ceo and Phoebe, who are also Titans. So now Zeus is moving on to a cousin. So that's fine. Leto gets pregnant with twins. And here, Hera, not happy about it. Hera's going to allow Leto to give birth, but you need to get off of my yard. You can't do it here. You need to go to some secluded island to deliver those twins, which Leto will, delivering Zeus's two latest illegitimate children, Artemis, the goddess of hunting, and Apollo, the god of the arts. Europa, up next. Sometimes this is referred to as the rape of Europa, because Zeus, not so into asking for consent. Europa is the daughter of the king of Tyre, and one day she's just out, like, minding her own business, picking seashells with all of her maidens on the shore. And here comes this friendly bull. Zeus has shape-shifted into a bull to make his move. And here comes just like Ferdinand the Bull.
Sure.
I'm so friendly and cute. And he gains her trust in bull formation. And is like, hey, Europa, you want to ride me, lady?
Oh, no.
And Europa's like, whoa, I've never ridden a bull before. Wow, I've never seen one so gentle. This should be great. And Europa will get on the bull to ride the bull. And Zeus takes his chance, runs away, kidnapping Europa, bringing her to his childhood home in Crete, where they are going to have three children. The first two of those kids actually become judges in the underworld.
At least they had jobs for everyone.
Semele is up next. Semele and Zeus, he loves her. She's mortal, though. She's completely mortal, but he is so taken in by Semele. And when Semele's about 6 months pregnant, Zeus is like, babe, I'm going to give you anything you want. Whatever you want, you name it, it's yours. Pickles, cinnamon ice cream, doesn't matter. I'm gonna make it happen for you, babe. But you have to intersect meddling wife Hera here. Because Hera's going to go to Semele and say, Semele, I know what you want. This is what you should ask Zeus for. Now that we're BFFs, Semele, you should ask Zeus to see him in his god formation. Because that is how you'll know he really, really loves you.
Why do I think this is a trick?
It's a trap! Because Hera knows full well that mortals cannot see immortals in their true form. Because something really bad happens when they do that. And so sure enough, Zeus shows up with all of his lightning bolts and his thunder. And Semele is like, oh, babe, I know what I want. I want to see you in your immortal formation. And Zeus is like, okay. Semele burnt to a crisp. Burnt up.
Hmm. Well, that was very wrong of Hera.
Oops. But don't forget, Semele's pregnant. So after having learned about that terrible labor with Athena all those years ago, Zeus is like, okay, I'm going to do it better this time. So he goes to his burned, charred lover's body, cuts the kid out, and will take the fetus and insert the fetus into his own thigh to continue growing the baby.
What?
Probably better than his brain. So lessons learned.
Wow. Noticing there's no god of surgery.
Zeus will continue to grow the child in his thigh for the remaining 3 months of gestation and delivering the double born. This is why he's called double born. Dionysus, the god of wine, fertility, theater, and rituals.
Yeah, I would want a drink knowing that about my past.
But not surgery.
I was gestated in my father's leg after he burnt my mother to a crisp. Oh my God.
We're not even close to done.
Oh my God.
We got Mnemosyne. Mnemosyne is the goddess in charge of memory. She is an original Titan. She's one of the 12. So again, Zeus's aunt. Just trashy. Zeus and Mnemosyne run off for 9 nights, creating 1 child per night. These will be the 9 muses in mythology.
Okay.
Calliope, in charge of epic poetry. Cleo, in charge of history. Eudippe, in charge of flutes and music. Thalia, in charge of comedy and pastoral poetry. Melpomene, in charge of tragedy. Terpsichore, in charge of dance. Arato, naturally, love poetry, lyric poetry too. Polyhymnia is in charge of sacred poetry, not the love kind. And Urania is in charge of astronomy. Ah, this one's terrible. Alcmene. Oh, sweet Alcmene. Alcmene, there's a slight problem here. Alcmene is already married to Amphitron. So there's a few different layers of complication. This couple, Alcmene and Amphitron, are the grandchildren of the legendary hero Perseus, which makes them both great-grandchildren of Zeus.
Okay.
Not just aunts, not just cousins. Now Zeus is... Okay. This one's pretty terrible. Amphitryon is off at war, and Zeus is like, how do I get into Alcmene's favors?
Panties.
I will take her husband's appearance to have her.
Oh, God.
I'll shapeshift into him. So Zeus does this. He has 3 days of pretending like he's Amphitryon, returning home from war, banging his great-granddaughter. Whoops. Amphitryon returns.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. And now they have a reunion, leaving Alcmene with twins, one belonging to Zeus, one belonging to her husband.
Okay.
Hera has some things to say about this. Mm. She's ready to punish. She is ready to exact some revenge, but not on Zeus, but Alcmene for making it all happen. Hera's really misdirecting her anger in this one.
Yeah.
And holy cats, Hera's like, you know what? I'm not even going to make it easy on you either. Your pregnancy is going to last 10 months. I'm not even going to let you deliver in 9. Alcmene's going to deliver a set of twins, a mortal son, Iphicles, son of her husband, and Heracles, son of Zeus. Heracles, the hero of antiquity. Hera hates Heracles. Hera's going to raise a hydra, a serpent monster, in order to kill Heracles. Heracles has enemies before he's even born, right? Like, oh, it's terrible. Hera will continue to use her supernatural powers to prevent Heracles from becoming the ruler. Zeus has already said that Heracles is meant to inherit this kingdom. And Hera's like, oh, hell no. I'm going to make sure this other kid, a feeble kid, that has no heroic properties like Heracles is in charge. Poor Heracles grows up and Hera's just not done with him. By the time he's a young adult, she's going to cast a spell that drives him insane and makes him murder his beloved wife and two children.
Yikes.
Heracles, naturally guilty and heartbroken by this, will find his buddy Apollo, god of truth and healing, another of Zeus's sons, remember, begging to be punished for what he had done. But it's all Hera's fault. We have Danae. Danae is the mother of Perseus. I think you're going to like this one. She's the princess of Argos, and she's the only child of King Acrisios. And her dad, dude, again, stay away from prophecies, learns of a prophecy that he is going to be killed by a son of his daughter. So this time, Daddy King locks Danae away in a subterranean bronze chamber. No match for Zeus, that prison. Zeus gets in to the prison where she's being held in the guise of, you can't make it up, a golden shower.
What does that mean in this context?
I don't know.
Okay.
But that's the myth and that's the legend.
Okay.
Is Zeus transforms into a golden shower. Danae will conceive and bear a son named Perseus, who will become the slayer of Medusa and the rescuer of Andromeda. Lots of stories to pick up on. Oh gosh, I have so many more. I think I'm seeing a season 14 reprise because I can't even get into some of these stories. They're so trashy, but I do want to end on the time that Hera planned to revolt against her husband. Hera, new bartender, getting her pretty drunk. She's got some big ideas on Mount Olympus. Is going to convince a few other gods that Zeus has really, really been abusing his power. So Hera's going to work with Poseidon and Apollo and Athena. And they're going to plan a little coup d'etat.
I mean, it sounds like an intervention might have been even better. I don't know. Stop shapeshifting.
Well, Hera is going to put sleeping pills in Ganymede's latest cocktail. They give that to Zeus, and Zeus passes out.
This is called the Nighty Night.
Uh-huh. He's dead asleep, unconscious. Hera, Poseidon, Athena are going to drag Zeus to bed and tie him up with ropes, which renders him powerless. Like, Zeus is all powerful, but apparently...
Get him near a rope.
When he's asleep... Tied with ropes, he loses his powers. He's going to be helpless when he wakes up. And sure enough, Zeus does wake up. Mm-hmm. And he's pretty pissed. Mm-hmm. Pretty furious. Because he overhears everybody in the other cloud arguing about how do we divide up the spoils of our coup d'etat that we've certainly just won. Zeus, naturally, is laying in bed plotting his revenge if he ever gets out of this particular scrape. But remember, Zeus's other relatives from Uranus and Gaia, who had those three giants with the 50 heads and the hundreds and hundreds of hands. They love their brother Zeus, man. So they're going to go on up to Mount Olympus and just use all those hands to untie Zeus. And Zeus is like, ha ha. Now, the plotters who have arranged this conspiracy, it's not great for them. Zeus is going to chain Hera to the sky.
Wow.
Poseidon and Apollo get robbed of immortality for a year, and they're sent down to build the walls along with common laborers in Troy for a certain amount of time.
Did they know that they would become immortal again after a year? Like,
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, so I mean, they just had to pay a little penance.
If you die...
Building the wall, I can't help
you. In the next 12 months...
Be nice to the Morai. They hold the...
You're going
to
be really dead.
Exactly.
Okay.
Athena, remarkably enough, headache baby, is the one who doesn't get punished for this. Anyway, after that time Hera planned to revolt, she settles down a little bit. Zeus will eventually release her from her chains the sky.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Zeus will... After all this, maybe take a little lesson and settle down and reign just a bit more peacefully over Mount Olympus, potentially.
Maybe just learn discretion, buddy. They need like a god of birth control.
God of sanity, god of something. I don't know. I feel like that's enough. That has been quite a trashy ride through mythology to send us off for season 13. I've left a few of those stories that are a little bit more complicated. We'll definitely revisit some of the fan favorites if I haven't talked about your favorite Zeus sin or transgression yet. I do want to end out, though, on my very, very, very favorite line from Barefoot Children in the Rain. Keep your raft from the riverboat. Fiction over fact always has my vote. Hmm. And wrinkles only go where the smiles have been.
Hmm.
We, Stacy and I, certainly hope that we have lent some smiles to you in this send-off of season 13 for Wednesday. Thank you so much for making this trashy ride through all of our seasons so awesome for us. We adore your trashy hearts. We're going to see you back on Sunday for two brand new trashy divorces, capping off this season.
Yep. It's how we do it. Alicia, thank you for that Olympic level trash monster.
Trash. Zeus is literally the worst. Hera, kind of the worst too.
Kind of the worst, but she really, like, married poorly.
I don't know. Again, fiction over fact always has my vote. We can get to places in these stories that are...
Leave the animals outside, people.
Oh, God, for sure.
Don't bring them in.
For sure, for sure. Hey, y'all, thanks again for tuning in. We're going to be back with you on Sunday. Until we meet again, friends.
Keep your hands clean.
Stay out of Mount Olympus, dude, unless you get Ganymede's new drink, because I heard that one is...
Sure.
Banging it up on Mount Olympus.
Yeah, patron saint of bartenders or whatever.
Clean hands, trashy hearts, friends. See you Sunday.
Bye.
Bye. And thanks to you for listening. Trashy Divorces is a Hemlock Creatives production, created and produced right here in Atlanta, Georgia, by us, Stacy and Alicia, with a little research and writing help from the brilliant Melissa O.
Our art is by Sydney V. Smith. That's Sydney V. Smith at carbonmade.com. And our music is used with permission of Ratsy. Check her out at Ratsy's store on Instagram. And definitely drop into Ratsy's store anytime you're in Oberlin, Ohio.
You can contact us at trashydivorces@gmail.com or find us on the World Wide Web at trashydivorces.com.
If you need more trash candy in your life, our Patreon community includes some of the very best humans around and thousands of hours of bonus content at every level of support. Join the fun at patreon.com/trashydivorces.
Interested in some Trashy Divorces swag? Check out our merch shop and Trash Panda Enthusiasm Society at bit.ly/trashygear.
Want to advertise with us? Reach out to sales@advertisecast.com for more information.
And last but not least, come play with us on social media. I keep most of our Trashy Divorces Instagram hopping. Stacy and I share it up over on Facebook, including our Trashy Divorces podcast discussion group. Come join us over there, and thanks again, everybody, for listening.
Keep it trashy, y'all.